chapter 1, Luke chapter 1 this morning. For the white glove inspection, Brother Barnhill, now, we're going to include him in this. He's a former Marine drill instructor. He's going to show up with white gloves and anger tomorrow. And no, actually, his wife has mellowed him. He would join the Air Force now. Yeah. That's exactly right, brother. It's called wisdom. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David, the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love you, and I thank you for your word. Lord, I ask your blessing now upon the message. Please control what I say and even how I say it, Lord. I pray this would strengthen us, would be a help to us. Lord, please do a work here. I pray this time would not be in vain. Lord, I do pray if there's anyone here who has never truly been converted, Lord, I pray that would just be on their mind and on their heart and be clear that even this morning they repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may you be glorified. Please work. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Get a drink of water real quick. This morning, I want to look at Christmas, really, from Mary's perspective. If I was to title this, I went through different titles yesterday and Friday and today. And perhaps the one title I would give it would be, Why Mary? Again, I don't think I've ever preached a message just from her perspective at this time. I put them both together with Joseph and Mary. But just to focus on Mary at this time, I don't know that I've ever done that except maybe in some subpoints and some truths from that angle. But I want to focus on Mary and her response to the angel during this visit. Too often when it comes to Mary, we have two extremes. On one side, you have those who give her godlike characteristics, making her pretty much divine and even flows into worship. On the other side, you have those who minimize who she is and make her like any other common young girl of her day. We just need to stay with what the Bible says, and I believe that will prevent both extremes. The Bible will teach us who Mary was. So the question is, why did God choose her? What was it about her? I do think we see the answer to this by her reaction to the angel, to Gabriel. In different messages, I usually bring out a point every now and then where I'll make the statement that a battle is won before it's ever fought. Okay? And that is true. When you are ready, when you are prepared, when you have things in place, when a battle hits, that's going to determine your success during that battle. But this also applies to our character. This also applies to the strength or weakness with our walk or relationship with God. So when a spiritual battle hits, if you're already prepared and ready and strong, you will succeed. Therefore, the battle is won before it's fought. When your character, or again, the strength or your relationship with God is tested, what is in place, that's when it will come out. It usually takes some type of trial or testing for that to be revealed, or an area that requires a measure of submissiveness to God that has not been in place in your life before. Let me give you a few examples before I focus on Mary. For instance, Jonah. What was in place with Jonah's walk with God and his character was truly revealed when he refused to submit initially to what God asked him to do. His character, the problems that were present, came out. Let's go to the other side of that. David, a simple shepherd boy, obedient, teenager as well, by the way, but boy, was his faith genuine. That was revealed on that battlefield with Goliath. A trial made it clear who he was. All right? It wasn't clear before. You couldn't have recognized it. His dad didn't recognize it. His brothers didn't recognize it. That wasn't present. But when a certain trial or testing came up, it was revealed. Same with Jonah. It wasn't clear really who he was until God came to him and said, "Jonah, this is what I have you to do." And he said, "No." The nation of Israel, when they went into captivity with Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar makes the statue. It became clear when they were tested and tried where character lied. Character with men like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. A trial brought it out. Now to our text. Mary is given a task, or more so, told how God wants to use her. What she hears this day would change her life forever. She is literally given an impossible task, yet as we see in our text, our text, we serve the God of the impossible. Here is what the Bible tells us about Mary, what we know. She's from Nazareth. Nazareth is a very, very small town in Galilee. So shut in from the world that really it's not really once mentioned with a single event in the entire Old Testament. The Talmud itself and these other Jewish writings, not a mention of it. Even though there are multitudes of the small towns and villages in Galilee mentioned. Her father's name was Eli. She had a sister named Salome. From her dad's side, she would also be in the lineage of David, just like her husband Joseph is. She has a relative named Elizabeth. Putting some other things together and drawing from this, we would conclude young, most likely pretty poor, a strong belief in God. We also know from our text that she is set to be married, so most likely very much in love. She is betrothed to a man named Joseph. Again, betrothed meant she had there's an agreement in place that she will marry this man, similar to our engagement. But of course, as I'm sure most of us know, the engagement of in Jewish culture at this time was much more binding and legal than our engagement today of our culture. So the betrothal has taken place. Now what they're waiting for would be the wedding feast. That period would last, it varied, anywhere from 6 months to a year. During that period, though, the couple was considered to be married, even called husband and wife, but they did not live together, nor did they consummate the marriage physically. Mary would still be with her family, Joseph would be with his family, and then after that public wedding feast, Mary and Joseph would then live together as husband and wife. So they're waiting for that day. This is Mary's life. Lives in an obscure place, getting ready to start her own family, has a strong faith in God. It is real. It's not a game. It's not because of her culture. It is thought that she is somewhere around the age of 16 in our text. We really don't know. Could be as old as 19, but 16, somewhere around there, is safe. I am sure at that age, with what was up and coming, she could hardly think of anything else but the upcoming wedding feast. I think that would dominate her mind every single day. Spending time also daydreaming about Joseph, this perfect man, a carpenter. She would be busy planning for this wedding feast, going over who she's going to invite to the wedding, the guest list, what decorations she would want present, what food she would serve, and of course, what she is going to wear. My guess is that at this time in her life, I think it's pretty easy to assume this is perhaps the most exciting time in her life right now. Keep all this in mind, and you will truly see that Mary understood that life was all about God. God was the goal. What God will ask Mary to do will change her life forever. She will respond immediately and with joy. So we're going to, as I get into the points, I'll get to them. I'll give you the three right now. If you want to write them down, you can. I'll get to them here in just a minute. It's going to be fear, follow, and faith, followed by an important conclusion to try and draw it all together. So let me set the scene of that day the angel comes. Try and put yourself there. Remember her mindset. I'll do my best to try and create that image, that picture in your mind, so we can grasp the character of Mary. I think she probably got up that morning, spent time in prayer with the Lord, thanking him for Joseph, of course, asking for his wisdom on the wedding plans, bringing any problems or anything coming up that she saw that was going to take place. Asking God to help meet the needs of the wedding. Please help her parents during this stressful time with them as well. Of course, asking God to bless her upcoming, her marriage with Joseph, her upcoming family. After that, no doubt, perhaps getting to chores, maybe that morning discussing plans about the wedding feast with her mother. Maybe the afternoon comes. Maybe she's outside doing chores or walking to the well to get some water. Probably daydreaming about Joseph. So excited. She's on the way to the well, and all of a sudden there appears an angel. Remember, apart from what just happened with John the Baptist's dad, with Elizabeth and Zacharias, it has been silent for 400 years. An angel appears before this about 16-year-old young woman in an obscure village, and an angel appears unto her. I also thought about this. I've never preached this either, but Gabriel, I was thinking from his perspective. I mean, he's sent by God, it tells us, just to be in his position, sent by God, I want you to go to that young woman, Mary, and give her this message. I mean, the excitement he must have had. The angel starts with what would seem to be this crazy or confusing greeting to Mary, and that's exactly what it was. Coming from an angel of God. I mean, here's this young, humble teenager. The angel says, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." I mean, for her to hear that. Now, let's look at her response. The first thing we're going to see would be fear and troubled. Look at verse number 26 again. Let's go back to our text here. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." I mean, the angel says to her, "Fear not." She sees, and he already knows what's going to be going through her face when an angel appears before her. And then these words that he speaks, I mean, this would be incredible. This majestic being presented before her. She is perplexed. I mean, the angel even knew her name. I mean, she had to be thinking, why she's perplexed. Why is this angel coming to me? Why would this not be my dad? Why would this not be the leader of our synagogue? Why would this not be the high priest in Jerusalem? Why me? I understand why she is troubled. It means perplexed. I mean, she's hearing these words. I mean, just to have an angel appear would be incredible. But then the greeting that is given, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Oh, my, to hear those words from an angel of God. "Thou art highly favored." Mary is confused at the greeting. She's wondering why. Why God would notice me. Why would God show me favor? Shows her humility. This is always a key trait that God looks to use anyone, will always be humility. Pride is a sin that throughout the Word of God that God rejects and stresses how wicked and how vile it is. And how that moves you away from God and you don't even realize it because your pride blinds you. So without a doubt, one of the elements that we're seeing present of why God chose Mary was a measure of humility that was there. I mean, when this angel appears and she hears the greeting, she doesn't run away. She doesn't say, "It's about time God noticed me. Look how faithful I have been." Not at all. She was genuinely humble. Now, along this line, teenagers, I want to talk to our teenagers. Applies to all of us, but I want to address this to our teenagers. Mary is 16. She's not 36. She's not 42. She's not 25. She's not 54. She's about 16 years of age. Maybe even 15. Look at her example. Look at her example as we're going to see as somebody is so genuine with God. Teenager, listen to me. Make no mistake that God sees you and He notices. Just like He noticed Mary. He notices. He notices what you do. He knows who you are. He knows if you are real. He knows if you are fake. He notices. This is so important to making God your God. Not the God of your parents. Not the God of your friends. That I will serve God because He is God. There was something different about Mary. And I am telling you, it's because she was genuine. And I can prove that through this text that we're in. That we're going to see before I'm done. She was real. She was genuine. Teenagers, this is what you want to be before God. You want to be genuine. And I promise you, when you are, God notices. He does. He notices. Even if no one else is, He notices. I honestly believe, and I'll find out from heaven if I'm right or wrong, that the reason why God called me into ministry was because He noticed me in my teenage years. He noticed that I was genuine, that I wanted Him, that it wasn't fake. He saw the times when afraid, or a time that I was up and reading His Word with awe, wanting to know more, my desire to know Him. Listen, teenagers, God notices. That's the one that matters. He is the one that matters. He knows exactly where you stand before Him. He knows everything about you. Even if no one else notices, God does. So we see it in the initial part of this greeting. Mary was fearful, but the angel told her, "Fear not." She was troubled, confused by the salutation that was given to her. As she is favored and what she is hearing the words of this angel. But she would learn now what God has for her. And God's will for her life. And she will follow. And that is clear, by the way, in the next couple of verses, which is the next point, is to follow. Look at verse, let's pick it up, verse 31. He goes on to tell her the reason for his visit now in verse 31. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" The question is very revealing to us. She asked this question upon hearing this incredible news that she has given. The question itself, as we're going to see, is demonstrating that her desire to follow. All right, this is what you've given me. How is this going to get accomplished? It's not going another girl. It's not going another. She's not saying, "Wait, you don't know my plans. I have other things." Wait, no, not me. She just wants to say, "Listen, okay, I got it. How? How?" She's 16. The angel comes, reveals the reason for the visit. I mean, what news to hear, how God wants to her. "You will bring forth into this world the Messiah, the Son of God, the ruler of the universe." That's what she's hearing. Along with the lines of, "Congratulations, you're going to have a baby boy." Her response really is astounding. Again, she doesn't argue. She doesn't run away. She doesn't say, "No, pick someone else. This is not my plans. I have been looking forward to my life. I have laid out my life. I have it planned out. I know what I want. Please go pick someone else." She simply says, "How?" She doesn't laugh. She doesn't think, "This is not happening. God doesn't know what He's talking about. I'm going to have to help God out." You know, a lot of times we don't verbalize it that way, but by our actions, that's exactly what we do. Clearly, God does not understand science, because this ain't happening. She asks the question, how? She wants to follow. She's confused how this can be possible. "How, Lord? How can I follow what You want? It's impossible." Because it was as if how the angel made it sound, and correctly so, that this is going to happen now. She's like, "Okay, but I know not a man." She's still a virgin. I mean, her response to this life-altering news is simply, okay, how? How can I follow this? No hesitation. Now, I don't think she expected the response she was going to get. I mean, I don't think that Isaiah 7:14 came to her mind. I mean, it's possible, but I highly doubt it. I think she was expecting the angel to say something like, well, after you are married, you know, this is what's going to come to pass. I don't know that she understood all the theology that would be necessary in this 30 seconds of time of what this means with the proclamation that the angel made to Mary of what was going to take place. I don't think the entire weight of all the theology involved hit her just yet of what it's going to take for God to become a man. So she says, how is this possible? I know not a man. So often we face things and we say to God, how can this happen? See, this is one of the reasons why I also believe God chose Mary. She would follow. She would follow. Many times God will show us a clear direction. Yet something, or something we need to submit to. But boy, we often run from it or excuse ourselves away from it. We think there's something that would be better for my life. Or we don't see how God could do it. No, this would be better for my life. Or I just don't see how God could use me in that way. We doubt and we don't submit. Or we could think, Lord, how can this be? How can you help me in this? How can you change this? How can this be? God, this is impossible. How can I do this? God, I want to follow, but I don't see how. And then in the next point, we see the how. And that is faith. Look at verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who also was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Listen to Mary's response to these words. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What faith is demonstrated. So the angel tells her how this has come to pass. She said, I don't know a man. I don't understand. How can I possibly follow this? And he says, listen, no, this is going to be direct intervention by God. Joseph will not be the father. This is of God. This will be miraculous. Your conception will be a miracle. You will conceive without ever having physical relations. You will give birth to the very Son of God, the Creator, God in the flesh. I mean, her hearing these words. And it even makes a reference to Elizabeth, a relative of hers. Elizabeth is at least 50 years older than Mary. It says, the word means relative. Just like sort of how we use cousin today. It doesn't mean first cousin. You can have cousin upon cousin upon cousin. So there's a relation here. But they're separated by at least 50 years. And the angel tells her of her, said, listen, in her old age she has conceived. And he points out, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary's response is just incredible. It is full of faith. Believing in God to do the impossible. So again, picture, there she is, this very young woman, around 16, engaged to be married. I have no doubt perhaps her hands are trembling right now. Perhaps her whole body is trembling at hearing this. Tears flowing down, nervous. I read one was talking about this and said maybe she was questioning, wondering but not terrified, unsure but not uncertain. The angel says, nothing is impossible with God. And after that statement, Mary takes this deep breath and says, be it unto me according to thy word. Wow. Wow. And with those words, Christmas would arrive in this world a few months later. I mean, the statement she makes, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I think without exaggerating, it could be one of the greatest statements of faith in the Word of God. She said, yes, my life is yours. She said yes literally to the impossible. Yes to the plan of God. She showed her humility in her statement. A handmaid, a lowly servant. Lord, I am your servant. Whatever you want, that's what matters. Even if it seems impossible, Lord, I will follow you. Listen, I got news for you. It takes faith to follow God. It does. There are times that we face things that will take a measure of faith that seems it's impossible. You don't ever forget God is there. You stay humble and you serve Him. You stay humble and you serve Him. You do what's right. Mary showed tremendous faith. She had incredible trust in God, which is another reason why He chose her. This was somebody who was so humble, willing to follow, with a genuine, true faith in God. Now, this brings me to the conclusion to tie this together. Please listen to this. This is where it gets important. Let's compare Mary's response to how often, myself included, we respond to the things that God asks of us, of His will, or in some area to submit to Him. Mary's response truly is incredible when you put it in context. Think what she is facing in this moment on that day. Remember, let's go back to our setting. There's Mary walking to the well, thinking of her wedding plans, so happy, daydreaming of Joseph, and in a moment everything has changed. Gone are all the dreams of the beautiful wedding. Gone are the days of the anticipation. Gone are all the plans of the wedding feast. In a moment, everything she has been looking forward to literally has changed with the life she planned. She will be married, of course, but not before gossip and rumors spread. She will be married, but not the way she planned. She will have a home, but over her family will be a cloud of suspicion and shame. I mean, by the way, we see evidence of that in John chapter 8 in Christ's ministry. When the Pharisees said to Christ, we be not born of fornication. You would think Mary would be devastated. She would be crushed. I mean, all these people talking about her and thinking evil of her. So often we allow the thoughts of others to control how we respond. They don't even know the truth. There's nothing even true about it. Nothing. I mean, it's because she's so genuine that this is even happening to her. Yet everybody else, the belief people, I mean, all the questions are going to come. She still has to tell Joseph. The angel didn't tell her, by the way, I'll talk with Joseph. She does not say, God, you're simply asking too much. I can't do this. Or she could have had the attitude to submit. Now listen to me. This is too often. We do this too much. I'll submit, but I'll submit in misery. God, if this is what you want, so be it. I will follow what you ask, but this will be hard, and I will be miserable serving our great God. She could have did that. She could have. Lord knew she wouldn't. She knew that's not her. See, I believe what she knew about Mary was also true of another gentleman in the Word of God named Job. So genuine. A life that was truly all about God. And it becomes clear when the submissiveness or the testing hits. What is her response? Look at her response. This is fascinating. Jump down to verse 46. This is Mary's response. Think, again, she just put the setting in. Her life has completely changed. Everything's going to be taking place right now. The direction has changed. I mean, all this. And this is her response. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She responds with joy. Isn't that incredible? She responds in joy. How was this possible? Because she was genuine. Her life was about God, not her plans. What she understood and had the concept down as a teenager is life is about Him. It's not about my plans. There's a Creator. It's true. Life is about Him. What could be better than hearing? What measure of success on this earth? What measure of esteem on this earth? There's nothing that can compare to hearing the words from an angel of God telling you, "Mary, you are highly favored." Joseph doesn't have a chance. There's no comparison. She knew. I mean, God knew about her. She knew. That's genuine. That's what she wants. Plans in life can change in an instant. God never does. You make your life about Him. That's why this could be so seamless with Mary. How? Okay, Lord, how? She hears how? "Thy handmaid, be it unto me according to thy word." Because it's about Him. If her life had not God at the center, I promise you she would not have joy right now. She's excited. Do you understand this? She hears this. She's excited. She says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. It's not my soul doth question the Lord. My soul is miserable in the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord. I'm rejoicing. This is genuine faith. When no one noticed her, except for Joseph, obviously he did, God noticed her. Saw how genuine and how real she was. She had joy because she knew and understood there is nothing better than following God. There's nothing more important than having God pleased with your life. She understood that. In truth, we can also conclude she cared much more of what God thought of her than anyone else on this earth. God, but what are they going to say? What are they going to do? None of that. It's not there. What was important to her, because she knew in her heart, because there's a measure of integrity that is present. She knew who she was. How genuine her faith was. All those other voices aren't going to matter. Could you imagine prior to this, during this, after this, even what she's going to see and live through with what is getting ready to come over the next 33 years. With all this coming, yet there's not a doubt in my mind, just like we see here, there's such a measure of stability and peace. Why? Not because of some new worldly, carnal term, teaching. Want to know why? Because in truth, her life was about God. It wasn't just Sunday mornings. It wasn't just Saturday at the synagogue. It was about God. What we need to do, as I conclude this, is live your life to please God. It's what it's all about. No plans in your life can ever change that will alter that. Do you understand that? Nothing. Nothing. Mary, when she first heard it, had the fear, was troubled. But then as she heard what God wanted with her, the admission was there. I will follow, just tell me how. When she heard how, even though it sounded completely impossible, she simply said, I am your lowly servant. I'm just a handmaid. Be it unto me. Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it. Life is about God. With heads bowed and eyes closed.